Oh, it's good to see visitors, Samantha and Jonathan. I don't really count you as a visitor. Good to have you back for a short time. That song, Myron, that you requested, Children of the Heavenly Father, as we were singing that, the word that popped into my mind was security, you know, that we can just be secure as a child in Jesus. So this morning, I'm going to go back to the book of 1 John, chapters 4, verses 17 to 21. And my main subject is going to be on the topic of fear and how it affects us. Now, even though I won't be reading a lot of verses, I'm going to kind of concentrate on one verse. Notice how John continues to emphasize the need of love in our lives and the connection of love and fear. And previously I've talked some on the love of the brotherhood, and he just continues that thought in some of the verses there. But let me go ahead and read those verses 17 to 21. Be 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 to 21. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So I'm going to be looking at the word fear in three different ways. I'm going to look at how it affects us, how to handle fear, and how love casts out fear. So we can use the word fear reverently, kind of as like the fear that we have for God the Father. That's a good way to use it. Or we can look at it as a feeling. And I'm going to be looking at fear as a feeling that we have. And that fear can be either negative or it can be positive. We can have a healthy fear of maybe like a fire. You have a healthy fear of a fire. You have a healthy fear of those of you that grew up around bulls or male animals. You have a healthy fear of that animal. It's a good thing to have that fear of that animal. But there's also a negative fear that we can have. And that's what I'm going to focus on maybe a little bit more, and how we can deal with that fear that comes into our lives. So we use a variety of other words to describe our fears in various degrees. When we're describing fear to a lesser degree, we say that we're frightened. And then to a larger degree, fear is expressed in the word afraid. But when we're consumed by fear, we use the word that we're terrified. It's just, you know, we're just really afraid and fearful. So to begin with, let's look at number one, how fear affects us. I want to look at fear's effects in five different ways. First, how fear immobilizes you, and then how fear keeps you from opportunity, and how fear keeps you from utilizing God's power, and how fear keeps us from speaking up for Jesus, and then last, how fear can neutralize us. So first, how fear immobilizes you. Maybe I see Reagan's not here. When he was talking about jumping out of airplane, I think he had some fear right then, he expressed. And some of you others, I think there's a few others in here that have jumped out of an airplane. And I'm not, I don't know if I want to really put myself in that situation. But I've been afraid numerous times in my life. But one specific incident that stands out was when I was immobilized by fear while working on a framing crew. Some of you know Nate Graber. Anyhow, Nate Graber and I, we were putting sheeting on a big two-story house. And that two-story house sat on an exposed basement. So we were up three stories from the ground, plus the roof on top of that. And it wasn't like I was afraid of roofs, because I had worked on numerous roofs. And, you know, I've roofed a number of houses where I got right down to the edge and had to work on walkboards and, you know, different steep roofs and that sort of thing. So it wasn't a new experience for me to be on a roof. But this particular roof, it was a hip roof with a pitch. It was around 10 pitch. And so walking on it was a little bit harder, and you had to use a tow board, which, for those of you that aren't familiar with that lingo, a tow board is just just what it sounds like. It's a 2x4 that's nailed to the roof, and you kind of walk on your toes. You're just barely on it. So the day was that we were up on the roof, it was one of those cloudy days with, you know, the white clouds, billowy clouds, just kind of moving along in the sky. But, you know, it was just otherwise a real pleasant day. So we started at the bottom, putting on a row of sheeting, and then we rolled out a roll of tar paper, put our 2x4 tow board down, and we were now ready to go. So we had something to work off now and stand on. We could go up the rest of the roof. So by the time we got up to the fourth or fifth run of sheeting, we had the second tow board down, and you could begin to see less of the floor, and you could see more of the trusses and the moving clouds that were moving in the sky. And I was beginning to feel a little bit like I was on the, it wasn't quite like the side of a cliff, but I was beginning to feel like I was kind of hanging on, just with everything, you know, with the height and the moving clouds and just seeing that, you know, not seeing a whole lot. So I was in the middle of the roof laying plywood down. And this particular run, you kind of had to flop up the piece of plywood because we were trying to maximize the use of our tow boards, I guess you could say. And we were wanting to lay another roll of tar paper down before we put the next tow board down. So this piece of plywood, like I said, I was in the middle of the roof, and as I flopped that piece of plywood up, and something happened to me that fear gripped me like it never had before or since, because my sense of stability had just disappeared. Before I could grip the edge of the plywood, you know, if I felt a little bit afraid, I could just grab onto the piece of plywood up above me. And but as I flipped that piece of plywood up there, I no longer had any handholds. It was just like I was standing on this tow board with a long ways down. And like I said, the sky was moving up there. But anyhow, you know, I was standing on a firm 2x4, but my depth perception was gone because I couldn't see as long as I could see the floor, I was pretty much okay. And besides, like I said, I was in the middle of the roof, and you had hip roofs, you know, the hips were coming up, and I don't forget it, how I felt. I was immobilized up there. I couldn't move. I was just froze pretty much. And, you know, it was three plus stories down to the ground if I fell. And I was afraid if I moved, I'd lose my balance. And it was kind of embarrassing. You know, Nate Graber, he was working just, you know, it wasn't that far away, maybe two lengths of plywood away from me. And it was kind of humiliating to think that here I am up on the roof and I couldn't move, literally couldn't move. I was very fearful. And I'm not sure what I said to Nate. I'm sure I asked him for his hand, but he gave me his hand, and Nate isn't the savior, but that day to me, he was my savior, because he gave me his hand, and then I could slowly inch over towards him. And of course we switched places, and I wasn't about to go out in the middle there again, but I took his job, and he you know, laid the rest of the plywood, the rest of the roof down. But I knew I could trust Nate. Like I said, he's a big guy. He's a strong guy, and he was safely anchored. When he gave me his hand, things just changed a little bit. But fear can and it will immobilize you in what you're doing and in what you're saying and what you're saying to someone else. And God is like Nate was to me. He's stable and he's our rock. And his hand will reach out and help you as you call out to him. And I want to read some reassuring words from Matthew 14, 30 and 31 and Psalms 31, 3 relating to Peter and David. This is in Matthew. But when he saw the wind boisterous, this is Peter, he was afraid, he was fearful, and he began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and he caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And then this is in Psalms. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. You know, Peter and David, they knew what fear was, but they also knew what was solid and who would stretch out his hand to help them. And that person that was solid was God, and they knew that he would stretch out his hand. So fear, it can immobilize you, but just remember, your help is right beside you, and we don't never forget that our help is right beside us, and he will stretch out his hand for us. So number two, fear can keep you from opportunity. So while Moses' older sister Miriam was keeping watch over him when he was in his little boat down in the bulrushes on the river, I'm sure that there was a certain amount of fear that crept over her as she saw her little brother being discovered by the princesses. But what, probably thoughts like, what's going to happen to my brother? Or what's going to be my punishment for hiding a Hebrew boy? But we see in Exodus 2 how she didn't let the opportunity. For God. So let's be men and ladies alert to the opportunities that God gives us in life, and then take full advantage of them with confidence and not let fear steal that opportunity that comes our way. So fear, it can keep you from opportunity, but let's not let that happen. Number three, fear keeps us from utilizing God's power. So in the story, I think you all are familiar with it, the Exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt in Deuteronomy 1, where the children of Israel came to the promised land that God had given them, we find that there was 12 scouts that were sent into the promised land to spy it out as to how and where they should enter, not whether they should enter. They were to decide how and where, not whether, they should enter in. But most of the scouts only saw the obstacles that were in the country, and fear and skepticism filled them. They saw the people that were taller, the people that were stronger, the towns that had higher walls, and the giants that were in the land. And hadn't God just miraculously brought them out of Egypt? God had promised them this land, but they didn't utilize God's power because of the fear of the obstacles that they faced. And I think we, like them often, we let difficulties control our lives. But instead, we need to be courageous. We need to be strong with overcoming faith and follow God regardless of the difficulties that come into our life. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb, two of the spies that didn't fear. Number four, fear keeps us from speaking out for Christ. Why is it that So often we're afraid to speak out about Christ's love and his saving power. And I dare say that every Christian in this room, including myself, whether young or old, we've wished that we would have said something for Christ, and possibly it might have happened to you just this week. Our fear of opposition, our fear of embarrassment, or maybe even rejection or ridicule, it can weaken our previous resolve to speak boldly for Christ. I'm sure many of you have felt that. You know, you've resolved that the next time I'm going to speak up for Christ, but then when that next time comes, you know, fear kind of creeps into our heart and we don't do it. But there is one safe place where we can practice this right. We can practice that, and that's right here at church. It's a whole lot easier to talk about Jesus here at church among friends and fellow believers. And I appreciate those of you that did this morning that spoke up. It's a whole lot easier to do it here. And then as we begin to share our beliefs and our faith, it becomes more natural for us to share that as we go out into the public setting. So I encourage you to continue to do that, and I appreciate those of you that do it regularly. So let's be diligent in praying for each other, that we would say what God wants us to at the right time, in the right way, and be a salt and light to those around us. So listen as I read several different verses. People that had fear and didn't speak up in the Bible. The first one is in John 7:13, where it says, "Howbeit no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews." And then in John 12:42-43, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." And then Matthew 10:32-33, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Okay, the fifth thing that I'd like to mention is that fear neutralizes our effectiveness for God. So if I would have a fire burning right here and I was warming myself by the fire and I'm standing by it to get warm, and then someone comes along and they pour water on the fire, that water has effectively neutralized the fire's purpose of warming me. But if the fire is hot enough, and I think Chad could probably, has probably seen this, but if the fire is hot enough, even the water will not have an effect on it. The water will evaporate into steam even before the water hits the fire, if that fire is big enough. Fear is like that water. It can neutralize the fire of our spiritual lives, making us ineffective. But if our spiritual life is burning hot, fear will have little effect on our usefulness. The Holy Spirit is sort of like a leaf blower, I guess you could say. And many of you have learned how to use a blower to fan the flames of a brush fire. The more we learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, the hotter our spiritual lives will grow, and fear won't affect us as much. In 1 Timothy 1:6-7, Paul urged Timothy to fan or to stir up the spiritual gifts that God had given him. And in that way, he would burn hotter spiritually and not have fear. Let me read those verses. "Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And then I'd also like to look at some words of encouragement that God gave to Joshua when he was given the job to lead 2 million plus people. And I think those words also apply to us today. And even though we aren't conquering nations, each of us do face temptations, and God promises us that he will never abandon us or fail to help us. He will help us conquer many of life's challenges, just like he did Joshua's. So you can listen or follow along as I read from Joshua 1, verses 6 to 9, and then also I'm going to read Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then also Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. And I'll start at the end of verse 5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a promise right there. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So on the practical side, fear is, it's really a real thing, and we all face it. Some are going to face fear more than others, but there's not one of us that is naturally immune to the attacks of fear. We can either succumb to the disease of fear, or we can use God's proven and given antibodies to suppress the germ of fear. So kind of in keeping with the analogy that I just gave there, I have four antibiotic treatments for you to take when you face down the disease of fear. The first round I'm going to prescribe to you is to stand on God's promises. When you're facing fear, stand on God's promises. In chapters 14 and 15, Abraham's nephew Lot, he had been taken captive by several kings, and Abraham, he chased after them with his men, and he recovered both Lot and his possessions. And we don't know what all ensued in this recovery of Lot, other than that Abraham, he divided his men, and then he attacked the invaders. Perhaps he feared retaliation, because in chapter 13, verse 1, God told Abraham to not be afraid. And yes, you did hear me right. Abraham was afraid. That's what it says in the Bible. Then God gave Abraham two good reasons to have courage. He gave two promises. He promised to protect and to give him a great reward. So God was going to protect Abraham, and he was going to give him a great reward. And I think that would be enough to help anyone that had any fears. Likewise, when we become afraid, we need to go to and we need to stand on God's promises, because there's a lot of them in the Bible, a lot of them for us. In fact, my Bible commentary, as I was looking at it, it has a whole list under the word promises. And I have a feeling a lot of your own Bible commentaries in the back will have the same thing. There's just a lot of promises that we can stand on. If you haven't already, I'd encourage you to start making a personal list of God's promises specific to you, so you can go to them and you can stand on them when fear comes knocking. And you know, that promise that was given to us is no good. A promise by anyone, in fact, is no good to you if you don't trust the person who gives it to you. So that leads me to the second antibiotic for fear, and that is to cultivate trust. When we trust, fear just dissipates. By our trusting in God's promises, fear is just driven away. It just dissipates away. In 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they had scaled a cliff, and I think it was probably a lot steeper than the roof that I was on, but they had scaled this cliff, and I have to picture in my mind, the Philistines had to have been up there waiting for them, and I'm not sure how they did it, but it was just the two of them, not exactly, because God was also with them, and it also says that God struck with an earthquake and caused the Philistines to fight among themselves. But in the process, Jonathan and his armor bearers, I think it says they killed 20 men or something like that. And anyhow, then they started fighting amongst themselves. But I want to read to you the verse that tells of Jonathan's trust in God. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over to the garrison of those uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." So when God calls you into action, be brave and commit what resources you have to God, even if it's only a few. Then rely on God to lead you to victory. If you haven't read this story recently, read it again and just let your imagination kind of run with it. And for those of you with young children, I'd kind of recommend to you to read it and kind of put your own words into that. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 14. The third prescription, it's closely related to trust, and that is to step out in faith. So when Peter stepped out in faith to walk on the water, he had good intentions, but he became terrified when it began to sink. And I think I would also if I was on the water walking and all of a sudden I began to sink. And he cried out, "Save me, Lord." And I want to read to you Jesus' response in Matthew 14, 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So, and there's many lessons that could be taken from this story, and much could be said about faith. We could talk a lot about, there's a lot to be said about faith. But when Peter was terrified, he called to Jesus, who was right there beside him, and Jesus stretched out his hand. So having faith, it will help us overcome our fears and to make the trouble less frightening because our perspective is right. And now we come to the last and the fourth treatment that we have for fear, and that is to acknowledge our fear to God through prayer. And this simple act of acknowledgement, it's not really simple, it can be really hard. Because when we acknowledge and verbalize something, in essence, we're saying, "I messed up, I failed, and I can't do it." And I don't think any of us like to be a failure. And I think it's maybe especially hard for us as guys to say, "You know, I failed, I messed up, I can't do this." It takes humility, and pride often hinders us from acknowledgement. And the reality is that when we acknowledge our fears to God, it brings a lot of freedom to us because we're handing our fears to someone that can handle them. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you." And interestingly, the verse before tells us that we should humble ourselves, which we definitely have to do when we acknowledge fear. We have to have humility to acknowledge that fear. So way back in Genesis chapter 32, verses 6 and 12, 6 through 12. Jacob, he faced a really fearful event in his life. He was going to meet up with his twin brother, whom he had cheated out of his rightful birthright. So Jacob, he was really terrified, and he prayed to God instead of fleeing from the inevitable meeting that he was going to have with his brother at one time or another. So Jacob prayed to God. Prayer is admitting that I need help. It's an act of submission, and prayer helps us to effectively face our fears by establishing our trust in a higher power. Kind of as a side note, and then I'll come back to this. If you've been blessed with a godly heritage, you can go back and you can see how God has worked on your behalf all through your predecessors. And if not, if he hasn't worked on your, if you can't see that, you can read about it all through scripture and you can begin a heritage yourself, exemplifying God's faithfulness for the generations that will follow after you. So anyhow, follow along in Genesis chapter 32 as I read Jacob's prayer that he prayed to God. Genesis 32, verses 6 to 12. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid. He had fear, and he was distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to meet the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac," here we can kind of see his prayer of trust, and he talks about his heritage. He mentions Abraham, God of Abraham and my father Isaac. "The Lord which saith unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal with thee." So here we see God's promise. And then it says, "I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies." And here we can see his humility. "And of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servants. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me." Here Jacob is asking for help. "I pray thee from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him." Here we can see his acknowledgement. "Lest he will come and smite me and the mother with thy children. And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." And there again, we can see what God said, "I will," is a promise that God gives right there. So let's finish now with the verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. How does love cast out fear? I think the best way I can answer that is to go back to verses 8, 12, and 16. How does love cast out fear? Verse 8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God has perfect love. And that the latter part of verse 12 there, it says, "God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." And then verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." So I think as we let the fullness of God live in us, including his love, that perfect love, we then learn to submit to him, to trust him, and to acknowledge him, his everlasting promises by faith. And then God transforms us And God permeates our physical being, in our thoughts, in our actions, and in our words. And our trust in God will drive out any fear that comes knocking. And thus, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear. So my prayer is that God would bless each of our lives this week with love this week. Thank you.